Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Peggy Mears and Chase Golding, two activists involved in the Occupy Our Homes movement, which is fighting foreclosures as part of a National Day of Action. Peggy is a community organizer with ACE, Alliance for Californians for Community Empowerment, who is spearheading the movement in Riverside. And Chase is one of the organizers of Occupy LA. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peggy Mears and Chase Golding.
Good evening, Ian.
And starting with you, Peggy, you were involved in an action in Riverside, California today, where the owner of a house that had been repossessed went back to reoccupy it. Apparently it had been sitting abandoned, for 6 months? Is that right?
Yeah, 6 months.
So tell me what happened.
Basically, what Mr. De Los Santos decided is that he was going to reoccupy his home. He felt that the bank had did him unjustly, which they did, and Occupy Wall Street called for a national day of homeowners reoccupying their homes all across the country. And today, all across the country, 30 families decided that they would reoccupy their homes, and he was one of the families.
Now, Peggy, are you on a speakerphone or on a regular phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, you're on a cell phone, because it sounds like a speaker. Yeah. That's all. There's a lot of echo. But Chase, you've been with Occupy LA. Is this where, since you guys have been evicted from your tents at City Hall, is this a new stage in the movement now to start occupying foreclosed homes?
I think this is right exactly in line with our principles as a movement. I can't pretend to speak for the whole movement and whether this is a new stage. I think we have to have a lot of new pieces moving forward. But the biggest thing is that we know exactly what it feels like to be ripped from our homes, which happened to us last week in City Hall of Los Angeles. And we're now moving forward and moving outwards into the communities to connect with the 99% all over Los Angeles and all over the country. And I think this is a key piece of that strategy.
And Peggy Mears, you're in Riverside, which I understand is one of the most intense impact has been felt in that community from foreclosures and from the subprime housing bubble. Give us a flavor of because one of the great tragedies, I think, of our current period in American life is the failure of the system, in as much as you have millions of people who have been made homeless by these greedy people on Wall Street, and at the same time, the homes that they've been evicted from are empty. So you have millions of homeless people living in the cars, and you have millions of empty homes. And if that doesn't tell you our system is broken, I don't know what does.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, diagonally across the street from him, a house is empty that was foreclosed upon. And also, his next neighbor is facing foreclosure. So it's at epidemic proportion here in this country. And it's unfortunate because the banksters refuse to work with homeowners. This particular homeowner can more than afford a loan modification. However, the bank refuses to work with him. And we, the people, are saying that enough is enough. We're going to reoccupy our homes. We're going to stand up and fight these banksters. The American people were made to bail the bankers out. We were told, oh, they need to regroup. We need to help them out. Part of that money that they got was supposed to go to helping homeowners stay in their homes. However, what they did was they took that money and they decided to give themselves compensations and bonuses last year, which totaled over $143 billion. Something is wrong with this picture.
So tell me about the home and Art, who tried today to move back into this modest three-bedroom Inland Empire home that from which he was evicted by his bank, J.P. Morgan Chase.
Okay, well, he's in the home now. He's brought his furniture in. We have supporters from ACE, SEIU, Good Jobs Los Angeles, different organizations that decided that we're going to stand with the homeowners and fight these banksters. This is a man who has been on his job for 21 years. He also served this country in the military, and the thanks that he got was a foreclosure and kicked out of his home.
And Chase, have you been involved in this action in Riverside or the one that took place in Southgate?
Yeah, I went to both homes today. We went to Southgate and in South LA first.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about what happened there.
That was great. I mean, just like in Riverside, a really broad coalition came together. You know, there were faith leaders, there were labor organizations, community organizations, Occupy Los Angeles, all broad swaths of society, all coming together around this issue that crosses partisan lines. A bank's going to foreclose on a Republican just as quick as they're going to foreclose on a Democrat or a socialist or an occupier or an SEIU member or what have you. So part of this broad coalition that we've built to move out into the communities reflects the fact that this issue cuts across any lines that they try to use to divide us as people.
So tell me about the occupant of this home that's being foreclosed on in Southgate.
Peggy probably has a better picture. I think she knows her personally.
All right. Well, let me ask Peggy. Can you answer that question, Peggy?
Well, as I said before, Art is a family man.
No, no. The one in Southgate. I was asking Chase about the house in Southgate because the occupant is still in the house.
Oh, yeah. She's still in the house. As a matter of fact, she is a young lady who has cerebral palsy. She just overcame stage 4 breast cancer. She's a fighter. She's an activist. They have 3 incomes in their family. They can more than afford a loan modification. Just like with Art De Los Santos, the banks refuse to work with them. This is common among all the banks. They refuse to work with the homeowners. It's mind-boggling because, like you said before, you have homeless, hundreds and thousands of homeless people and homes sitting up empty. These people can stay in the home and pay their loans. Why aren't the banks working with these homeowners?
And which bank is involved in the house that Anna Casas Wilson grew up in Southgate?
I believe she's dealing with Wells Fargo.
So is there any difference between any of these banks that you can tell Peggy Mears?
Only difference between the banks are their names.
I see. So, Chase, give me a sense, Chase Golding, of how you can build this movement, because here we're talking with two activists today trying to save two families in their homes, and you've got hundreds of thousands, millions of homes, and millions of homeless. So there's a lot to be done.
You see this as an opportunity to build a movement. Most important is that we're physically out in these communities.
Say that. Can you repeat what you just said? We dropped out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. We absolutely see this as an opportunity to build a movement. It's very clear that.
Well, I'm afraid we're having. We keep losing you. Are you moving about, or is it just a? You probably have AT&T, right?
No, I have AT&T.
You have well, we're a miracle that we can hear you. So, Chase,
he's traveling. He's traveling. He's in a car.
Oh, he's in a car.
That's probably why he's dropping in and out. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give him another shot. Chase, can you repeat what you just tried to say? You've dropped out twice.
Absolutely. I hope it's a little clearer this time.
Go ahead.
So we absolutely see this as an opportunity to build the movement moving forward. We know we have right on our side, very clearly the situation. We have a common sense solution. And so this is an opportunity to be out, be visible, out in these communities. And what I saw is, as soon as we got there today in Riverside, neighbors from all the surrounding homes started to come out into their lawn and these neighbors and introduce yourselves and talk about what you're doing there. They look you in the eye and they shake your hand and they thank you because they know, number one, they could be the next victim. Number two, foreclosed vacant houses drag down property values of the entire block. And number three, They know that the country's heading in the wrong direction in this foreclosure crisis, and the bank's unwillingness to work with homeowners is a primary cause of that.
So, Peggy Mears, what's your understanding then of why it is? And I don't know this for sure, but my understanding is that very few politicians have championed the loan modifications and trying to get people to stay in their homes. And if you pointed out the two people involved, whose homes that you were trying to protect today, both have incomes and want to service their loans and stay in their homes. Why is it that politicians aren't picking this up? Because this would be a winning issue, don't you think, with most people?
It's definitely a winning issue, but at this point, we the people cannot depend on any of our elected officials, Democrat or Republican, and a lot of it is the banks own the politicians. They pay for their reelection campaigns. They scare politicians. So what we've decided is that we're changing the narrative, and we're letting elected officials know that you are here to serve the people, not the banks. And if you can't and will not serve the people, we will vote you out of office and put someone in that will work for the people and not the banks.
Well, you know, we have a model, Peggy, in Springfield, Massachusetts. They have a media foreclosure ordinance in effect, where homeowners that require banks to consider, the issues of debt forgiveness. And frankly, it's even in the Bible, you know, the notion of the Jubilee.
Well, also, you don't have to go to Massachusetts. We have court mediation in Orange County where a judge, he decided that he had went to a conference and he was hearing about everything that was being done for the banks, but nothing was being done for the homeowners. He came back home to Orange County and set up mediation between the banks and the homeowners. It was a rocky start because the banks disregarded it. When they decided that, oh, you're going to disregard what we're saying, we want the president of the bank here Tuesday, or you will lose this home. So they saw that he was serious about that. They started working with the judge and the homeowners. So the court mediation program in Orange County has been really working well. We're trying to get that program in Los Angeles. It's been really hard trying to get the presiding judge to work with us. However, we have had a meeting with him since Occupy came on the scene. Occupy has opened the door and bought a lot of things, and a lot of people are finally standing up and seeing things for what they really are. So we're in solidarity with Occupy all over this country. They've really put the light on what's happening in this country, and now people are quaking in their boots because they know that there's power in numbers, and when the people stand up and fight back, they're going to lose.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Peggy, and also Chase Golding as well, both of you. I hope that this sad and counterintuitive situation is solved, and all of this pain is healed. There's nothing worse than hardworking people being kicked out of their homes and still wanting to service their loans. And all these homes sitting empty as the market gets this glut of unused homes. So both of you, I thank you both.
And we thank you, Ian. I listen to your show all the time.
Well, thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Peggy Mears and Chase Golding, two activists involved in the Occupy Our Homes movement, which is fighting foreclosures as part of a National Day of Action. Peggy is a community organizer with ACE, Alliance for Californians for Community Empowerment, who is spearheading the movement in Riverside, and Chase is one of the organizers of Occupy LA. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with the Harvard historian James Kloppenberg to get a sense of the historical context of President Obama's speech today in a small town in Kansas that was the site of a famous speech by Theodore Roosevelt in 1910. Clearly, President Obama is adopting a populist tone here, talking about a fair shot and a fair share, which is pretty much echoes what Teddy Roosevelt said back then. And it'll be interesting to see whether, and of course, the president did ally himself with the Occupy movement, although he did throw in the Tea Party with the Occupy movement, in the sense that arguing that the American people are fed up with the disparity of wealth. But clearly, there's no two ways about it, that Teddy Roosevelt took on the big monopolies, and Koppenberg seems to think that the president is going to certainly take a leaf out of his page, if you will, because nowadays the big monopolies and the powerful interests are defined as the 1%. And also, the historian also suggested that the current Republican Party is both a political and moral aberration, in as much as they preach the gospel of selfishness, according to Ayn Rand, which has nothing in the American tradition. And of course, the party of Lincoln, the party of Roosevelt, they're a long, long way from that in their assiduous fealty towards billionaires. Then we spoke with Nina Khrushcheva, the granddaughter of the former Soviet leader. She's just back from Moscow. She was able to talk about the Russian elections and how much the Russian people are fed up with Putin, not the young. They're being sort of brainwashed by Russian television, and they hope to get a slice of the pie in this kind of trickle-down mafia KGB state that Putin has put together. She says that part of the reason they're fed up with him is that his vanity has gotten out of hand. Apparently, he's had a facelift recently that most Russians thought was a little over the top. But he will, of course, become the next president. The elections are all but foregone conclusion, although there is a movement afoot, which we talked about, that's according to the Constitution, if you don't get 50% of the vote, the elections are null. And one of the Nemtsov, one of the liberal leaders there, is trying to organize a none of the above ticket. So we'll see where that leads and follow up on that. I think it's June, the elections for president in Russia. Then I talked with two activists who today tried to prevent the eviction of a homeowner in one home and support the reoccupation of a foreclosed home by its previous owner out here in Riverside in the so-called Inland Empire and Southgate. Peggy Mears, a community organizer with the Alliance for Californians for Community Empowerment, she spearheaded one of the actions, and Chase Golding, one of the Occupy LA organizers. We talked about what they did today and about how the Occupy movement is now going to engage more and more in occupying foreclosed homes. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbons. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also sign up and contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.